So I'm going to talk tonight about how to thrive while going through trials. It's just something that's on my heart. So we will get back to what we were talking about. Trust the Lord with all your heart, but this kind of fits into that. So I want to, and at family camp, we're going to talk about trials and suffering. It's going to be our theme. So I want to pick up last month. It's hard to believe it was just a month ago on our men's meeting. We talked about humility and embracing your space. We contrasted humility and pride, and how humility comes into alignment with God and can see things for how they are. And so we welcome trials in our life because trials humble us. And so building upon that idea, and I trust you had a humbling month, a lot of things that bring us humility, but most of all faith. You know, believing the truth brings us into that humility that really is a blessing. I know it's a poem that everybody knows, but as I think about trials, I just kept thinking about the footprints in the sand poem. And it's like, you know, you read it once, you never forget it kind of thing. So I'm going to read it. But my first point, I have 3 points tonight I'm going to briefly touch upon. How to thrive when going through trials. And the first point is remember God's good hand in the past. Remember God's good hand to you in the past. And this poem really exemplifies that. And then as I was going through things, I just kind of think about this poem. It's kind of a nice reminder. One night a man had a dream. How many here have heard the footprints in the sand poem? How many here never heard it? All right, so you guys all know. Okay, well, I'm just going to read it. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there were only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd always be with me. You'd always walk beside me. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, would you leave me? The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was I then who carried you. Not a great poem. It really emphasizes that. It's like there's times in our life where, you know, we're walking with the Lord, and there's times and it's just he just carries us, and it's just it's always by grace. There's just times that it's just seems to be. And it matches our trials. It matches our weakness, right? For when I am weak, then I am strong. And trials bring us to a greater weakness so that we can recognize a greater strength in the Lord. As I thought about trials and things of this nature, I thought back to one of our first men's meetings here. We actually met at Hope Baptist Church. Were you there for that, Bill?
Huh?
Yeah, Dwayne Braswell. We went to Hope Baptist Church and had our one of our first men's meeting there. You were there. Ralph was there. I think Mark,
Jerry,
Mark, and we went outside and prayed. We had some alone time. Went outside and prayed, and you know, I was here. I just turned 30. I had 3 little boys with me, and we had just had a miscarriage, and my wife. And just got pregnant again. I don't know exactly where that was, but she had a really hard miscarriage when we first moved here. And it was a hard miscarriage. And, you know, it was a rough time in my life with my wife being so ill. And, you know, I'm here to plant a church, and I was all excited to do that. And yet my wife was so ill during that time. And I had, you know, I had 2 churches supporting me for a year, so I kind of had a little pressure there 1 year. And I was being coached by the church planting pastor in Pennsylvania, and you know, you still coming from that, you know, you got to do this, and this kind of thing, and I couldn't do it at that season. And it was in that prayer meeting, I just, you know, I was praying about all these things, and the Lord just spoke His word very deep into my heart. That was the scripture that said, "I'm the head of the church," And it was just such a comfort to me. You know, Christ said, I am the head of the church. I will build my church, right? I mean, it wouldn't be in my plans to come out here to plant a church, to have my wife, to have a miscarriage, and then to have her turn around and get pregnant again, and start that whole, stay in that whole cycle that's been in our life for a long time. You know, that's humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense, right? And so it's called faith. It's called when you trust in the Lord, and just the comfort of the Lord, which was, I sent you here for a purpose, and I will build my church, and you have to trust me. So that was like, I'm going to trust you. So all of these years, we're still having the men's meetings, and you know, you go through these trials, and it just underscores, you know, trust in God. That was one of those times. And I usually sing "Be Still My Soul" in those times. So when I sing "Be Still My Soul," you know, that's I'm feeling it. All the different church difficulties we've gone through as a church body. You know, when Andrea, I mean, that's still a hard thing. You know, that was very difficult. And, you know, the effect of that is still, I mean, you know, the Navas are still dealing with that. It's a very difficult situation. And, you know, they need our prayers and constant prayers. And it's such a long, it's a long-term process. Very difficult. Different difficulties in the body, sin. You know, those are hard trials. As a body, we've gone through the crisis, seen us through. I think when Alex was trampled by the horse on the first time, the first major thing, which really, I believe, set the context for this. And the more we learn about the connections of the brain and the inflammation that causes the leaky gut that he's had, the leaky gut causes the liver detoxification and all these breaking down, which leads to the breakdown of disease and cancer. So what happened when he was in that, you know, humanly speaking, that's a major cause for the cancer that he has today. So, you know, we need to really we're praying for that. But that was hard back then, you know, being careful. I didn't know Alex was going to live or die, and, you know, something about this boy. So, you know, but God takes us through. You know, so my point is, I don't want to ramble, but when you see God's hand in the past, you see how many times God has taken, I see how many times God has taken me through very difficult times, right? And he gets me through them. He carries me through them. He carries us through them. Amen. That's a huge strengthening of our faith. Right. It's like, well, why would I not trust him now? Right. You'd be insane not to try. I would be insane not to trust the Lord now. Right. And the trials only get harder, right? You get older, you get more responsibility, you get more trials and of that nature. So they build on each other. You know, I think of my wife's last pregnancies and our last couple of babies that couldn't eat, and we're just kind of on the heels of that one, and then this one slides into that one. So Celia's still, you know, they just pile up. And I know many of you have the piling up trials, right? And you just get so far removed from the trials you think you can deal with, right? Well, you can kind of deal with these trials. And then, okay, you can deal with this trial. And then they just pile up. And it's just like, that's called being overwhelmed. So one of my favorite verses, again, to go through trials well, is to remember God's hand in your past, right? In the past, in Scripture, and what He's done for Israel, what He's done for the church, obviously the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins and He rose again, that He is faithful, and in the past of your own life, Psalm 61. Is one of those psalms that just shouts to me, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And so when we're overwhelmed, it's a sign to say, "Lead me to the rock. I can't deal with this." Great! That's an opportunity for faith. It's an opportunity to be brought to the rock that is higher. And again, when you're in an unstable condition, when you're facing change, that's when it gets difficult, because you don't know what's going to happen, right? So you need to know security, and that's where the rock image there. You know, rocks, mountains typically don't move, right? Mountains stay put. Even through hurricanes and disasters that we have in this world, the mountains stay put. So God says, I am the mountain in your life. I am the one who is always there. And when you're overwhelmed, when your life is changing, When you go through trials, you change, and that's what trials do. They change us. So you don't stay the same through trials. And the harder the trial, the more intense the trial, the more you'll change.
That's right.
And so in that process of change, that's where the fear can come in, because I don't know what's going to happen. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And as this psalm develops, I really appreciate it, because the psalmist says, "For you have been a shelter for me." He remembers the past. You have been a shelter for me. See that? When my heart is overwhelmed in the presence, you have been a shelter for me. So you've been my shelter. So I'm going to go to my shelter, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. So just rich images there, right? My strong tower from my enemies, those who want to destroy me. I trust in you. For you, O God, have heard my vows. Faith in him. He says, I have faith in you. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. And I pray that would be our heritage, right? Of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years to many generations. Or everything is in God's hand. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Now, I love verse 8, because verse 8 is the action point. So what am I supposed to do? So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So what does he walk away with? He walks away with his heart fully trusting in him. He walks away with praise in his heart to sing psalms of praise to God and to keep his commitments. It's a good place to be. I might daily perform my vows. And I like the word daily there, because it's one day at a time, right? Daily perform my vows. I don't have to fix the problems 100 days from now, right?
That's right.
Sufficient is the evil of each day. Or whatever Jesus said in Matthew 6 there at the end, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. And God meets with us when? God will only ever meet with you in the present, right? We need to remember the hand of God in the past. But he only meets with you in the present. I mean, he's eternal. When we die, we'll be with him forever. But still, the point of change is now. It's all we have. The past is gone. The future hasn't happened yet, right? Where's 18? What does he say about that? He has a little funny thing he says. Do you guys remember it? He said it at the equip. You remember that? Like, I don't remember it. You have to see. He should have been here to say that. Tell him that. He'll like that. It's really funny if you ask him about that, his little thing about the past and the present and the future. Anyway, the point is, all we have today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, it'll harden your heart. Today, today, today. So I will daily perform my vows. I will do what he's called me to do. How do we do that? We'll remember his hand in the past so that we can walk in him. We can walk with him in the present. So be still, my soul, as he guided the past, so he'll guide the future. You know, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. So that's how I want to go through trials. That's how you can go through trials, is to remember God's good hand in the past. Next is to see God's good hand in the trial. To see his good hand in the trial. So in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, we realize that pain causes us to stop and evaluate what we're doing. It reveals things. And it reveals what you really believe. And so pain and trials, of course, are a good thing. This is a wonderful thing for us to go through various trials and tribulations, because they do help us to understand God better. Again, as you go through trial, you're always going to change. And the more intense pain, the more deep the water, the more you'll change. That's why it's so important to go through them by faith, because you're either going to change for good or for bad. If you go through this trial without God, if you go through a trial without faith, it will change you for the worst. And that will be called bitterness. Right? So that's where people get bitter, because they go through trials and they go through hardship and heartache and pain and disappointment. And if you do that without faith in God and leading to the rock that's higher than you, well, then you'll be crushed by the circumstances. On the other hand, if you can go through trials and allow the trial to have its perfect work, as James says, as we'll talk about James 1, and keep that and understand God's hand is in the trial. Right? God is with me in the fire. He's walking with us through the trial. Then it's a wonderful opportunity to know God better. Amen. To grow in his grace better.
Amen.
And that's where really, I mean, that's where prayer comes in. And you know, we know the verse that says, and we know God works all things together for good to those who love God, right? In Romans 8:28. Well, before it, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray. So when we're in that process of changing and we don't always know what to pray, we don't even know, well, what is your will in this? And that's where we struggle. And when you're in a situation, as many of you are in, right, where God is pulling you and stretching you and making you uncomfortable in your circumstances, He's calling you to change. He's calling you out of yourself to be something that you're not. Right?
That's right.
And that's uncomfortable. That's what trials do. Yeah. Anyone in that situation, they can relate to that.
Amen.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so calling you to be something that you're not. Right? And so prayer helps us to see what that is. And He helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So He helps us, the Spirit of God, as we groan and wrestle with the circumstances in our life, He helps us to discern what God's will is. Helps us to lay down our life. Helps us to go to the rock that is higher than I, to have that shelter, that faith, that we can walk away with a song and a perspective and a purpose to do what God has called us to do in the midst of the trial. God does that through prayer, Holy Spirit led prayer. And so as I go through this trial, I'm just so thankful for the gift of prayer. I mean, it was just absolutely wonderful. God prepared when I was in Chicago, God prepared a little trail for me. It was a pretty long trail, actually, kind of in the woods in the Chicago suburbs. So it's kind of in the woods, not very thick woods, but you know, kind of in the woods. And it was just wonderful time of prayer there. Just, you know, just great time of prayer. I found some wild grapes. I was so happy. I found these grapes, you know, all these bitter grapes. I'm eating these grapes and elderberries. I grew up with elderberries all over. So I'm eating these elderberries. And I found some. I didn't know what they were. No one else knew either. So I went to the local farm store. I said, these are chokeberries. And I found out you could eat them. So I'm like eating these chokeberries. And you eat them, and then about a minute later, like, they do. They choke you. Yeah. So, yeah. So I had a great time. Those are just the fun things to learn, you know. And so, because Alex was sleeping in the hotel, right? So I was up at, I'm up at, or I was up. I was ready to go at 5, you know, it's dark. Anyway, it's that time of prayer that helps us focus. I mean, I would be a mess if it wasn't for that. I know what I'd be. But just having that focused time of prayer, it's like, and then you have that prayer, and that's everything in life, right? That's why we're meeting here. It's important to see the connection between verse 27. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How do we discern that? Through Holy Spirit-led prayer. So we know that God works all things together for good. So much of our life is, God, help me to see your hand in this trial. So if I know your hand in this trial, not just I know that you have a hand in the trial, right? I know that God, I mean, theologically we can say, I know God has a hand in trials, right? Because I'm theologically astute to this verse. I believe Romans 8:28. That's not what this is saying. Generally, yes, we all can come to that theological position. But I want to know his hand in this trial, and I can discern what his hand is doing in this trial in terms of the day in and day out, so that I can understand his will. What is God's will for me and those around me to embrace as he's working all things together for good? What is His will that I can embrace specifically in this trial on a daily basis? Amen. Isn't that a power? That's going somewhere, right? And if you can discern that, now you're really going somewhere. It's not just, well, God's going to work it out. No, I have an active role to participate in discerning God's will through this. And if I can, if I'm looking at God's hand, and it, or is it, looking at God, seeing His hand in it, then I, where am I going to go? I'm going to go into His will, right? If I'm not looking at His hand, if I'm not looking at His face, if I'm looking at the trial, or you know, like Peter getting out of the boat, if I'm looking at the waves, I'm going to sink in the waves. If I'm looking at Christ, I'm going to Christ. If I'm looking and discerning His will, I'm going to be going towards His will through the trial. If I'm not discerning His will, what am I looking at? I'm looking at this waves all around me. I'm looking at all the problems. And if fear comes in and takes me away, doubt comes in and takes me away, and I can still generally know God's working it together for good, but I have no clue how to walk that out in my life. Amen. See, that's not what this verse is teaching. This verse, and you get that through prayer. Right? It's, God just doesn't want us to say, well, I know He works all things together for good, and then I have no clue how to deal with the specific day in and day out trials. That's called wisdom. Wisdom helps us to know that. Now, I have no clue how to deal with it next week, but I don't have to have that. Amen. Right? All I had to have is today. And today's almost over, so I'm almost done. That's right. I get to go to bed. Right. Then I got to get up in the morning and start again for tomorrow, because tomorrow's another day. I kind of have an idea what I need to do, right? Right? We do have plans, but as we know, Alex says this. He says, God, what does Alex say? Why does he say rearrange the ducks? Why is he saying that? That's God rearranges the ducks. That's what he's saying. That's his phrase. God really can rearrange your ducks. You know, he thought he had his ducks in a row and got it right.
Well, that's where he's coming from.
That's where he's coming from. Yeah, I keep saying, yeah, many are the plans in the man's heart, but the Lord certainly directs his steps. Right. So you plan your, but the Lord does direct his steps. So seeing God's hand in it, right? And as you see God's hand, you hang on. You have that the theology of trials, which we can briefly look at, which would be James 1. So there's things that we know. So again, knowing God is working all things, but seeing the relation of the all things that God is working in relation to His good will. See, that's where the wisdom comes in. So then you match that with, and that's the prayer. So that's what I pray that for me. I pray that for you, right? That we have that kind of a wisdom from God. We know again from James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So, is my faith being tested through this? Absolutely. Is your faith being tested through what you're going through?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's being tested. So, count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, that's not the joy. See, you're joyful because that testing of your faith produces something, and it produces endurance, patience. And that's a great, great thing to possess, isn't it? Hupomeno, endurance, to go through the trial, patience. Now, patience does something, right? That endurance. Now, if you don't have patience or endurance, you don't have faith. See? Because you have to endure the trial, Jimmy. Right? You have to endure it, John. You have to endure it. Dave. You have to endure it. And your trial is different than my trial, is different than your trial, is different than your trial. That's not the point. The point is, God is trying us right where He wants us. Right?
Amen.
Right? Right where He has us. That's where His trial. That's where the trial comes in. And so perseverance is this first step. I'm going to persevere through this. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm going to grow where God has me. And I'm going to be thankful. Why? Because it says, verse 4, let patience this have its perfecting work. So as you're enduring and you're persevering, that's when you're really being matured. That's what happens. Who here wants to be mature? I'm hoping to be mature by the time I'm 50. I always say that by the time I'm 40.
You're going to start that over?
Yeah, I'm not going to start that again.
I've been waiting for your maturity.
Yeah. Yeah. But you get that. You get that by going through trials. It's one of the greatest things to go through. And so we all want maturity and greater wisdom. Will you get that perfecting work, that perfect work, as you endure through trials, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing? Okay, so when you're going through trials, what is it revealing? It reveals that you have lack of things because you don't know how to deal with the change. There's, I don't know. So you cry out to God. He leads you to the rock. And you ask God for what? Wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So as we're going through the trials, I need this. I need more faith. I need more diligence. I need holiness. I need righteousness. I need to fear God, not man. I need to trust him more. I need to flee temptation. I need to confess my sin, whatever that might be. And we learn that. If you have faith, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Again, trials will change you. By faith, they'll mature you. If you lack faith, they'll reveal you'll just be up and down. And that's hard to see that in others that we love, isn't it? You see that up and down. And they go through trials, and you know, we all go through trials. The question is, do you have faith? Everybody woke up, you know, it's all difficult, but if you have faith, your soul will be anchored, right? And you go through the trial. And that's why you kind of pure joy. So, we know that. It's the prayer that it helps us to discern what that is. Okay. So that's seeing God's hand in the trial. So we want to remember God's hand in the past. We want to see God's hand in the present. So can you see how God is giving you this trial to grow your faith? Do you see it? Amen. So you want to see that. You want to keep it. And you want to understand what he's doing. He's drawing you into a deeper relationship. And the final point is, we want to go deeper. We want to go deeper with that. God brings us these trials so that we grow our faith deeper in him. God brings us these trials so that he's prying your hands off the things of this world. Right? The things that you thought were so important. Your space, your time, your will. I mean, there's not many things that we find more dear than our getting to do what we want. Right? Yet the whole goal of the Christian life is not my will, but your will be done. So God frustrates our life in every different way so that we learn not to get what we want. So we learn to lay down our life for Christ and do his will. We should be about one focus, and that's what? To do the will of our Father. One will. We have one will. We're kind of schizophrenic. That's why we're back and forth, right? Unstable. The one will is to do the Father's will. So God brings trials so that we go deeper into his will. To do what he has said. To abide in him. To rest in his hand. To abide in him. To give thanks. And that's where the humility comes back in again. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Go deeper. Trust in him. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this is James 4. James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So in this process of learning to trust and rest in him, is the devil after you at every level? Does the devil have a plan to destroy you? Yes. So as God brings this plan to bless you and grow you, the devil is right there to tempt you, to destroy you. That's why James 1 says, when you're tempted, don't say, God is tempting me. It's not from God. He doesn't tempt anyone. It's by your own desires that you're drawn away and enticed, right? God brings these trials to try us in the sense of growing us and blessing us. So James here says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And there is a wonderful promise, isn't it?
Yes.
If you draw near to God, as you by faith, as you go, God knows. He knows we're weak. He knows our frame. He knows we need him. He's designed these trials, these circumstances, and these situations in our lives to cause us to go deeper into him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that's his promise. That's his promise. You would draw near to him, he draws near to you. He invites us into a deeper relationship. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. So how do we go through trials well? Remember God's hand from the past, and let that strengthen your faith. See God's hand in the present and cling to it, and go deeper in your faith. Deeper in your walk with Christ. Draw near to Him. Deeper in your relationships. Deeper in... I'm definitely closer now to my wife as a result. I can say I'm definitely closer to my wife as a result of this trial. This trial has brought my wife and I even closer together. And we had a good marriage. But we're closer. Why? Because we're learning the lessons. Well, we were apart for 30 days. It was hard. But we're learning the lessons. I'm learning the lessons. And that's wisdom. I want to grow deeper in my relationships, deeper in my love for you, deeper in my love for God, deeper in my love for my family. And that's what trials do. So, what keeps you? What keeps you from going deeper? What would keep me from going deeper? We have a choice to make. You can be overcome by the trial, by the temptation that it brings, and be overcome by it and shrivel up and let that alienate you from God, alienate you from your brothers and sisters in Christ and your family. Or you can see it and grow deeper and become more like Christ than you've ever been. What do you think? I think we should pray. We should pray. Let's take that to prayer. Father, we thank You for Your will that is revealed in Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit that opens the eyes of our hearts to understand Your Word. And that's what we pray, God. I pray for our prayer time now, as we go to prayer as men, that You would open our hearts, that You'd have full reign in our prayer time, that You call us to grow deeper, to draw near to You, that we would lament and mourn and confess our sin, lack of faith. Lord, as you have shown me my need for You, my utter foolishness and folly and lawlessness through these trials, I thank You, God, for the knowledge of Christ that brings about the knowledge of Your law, that brings about the knowledge of sin, that is such a welcome treat when it's matched with the knowledge of forgiveness. Amen. And mercy and grace and holiness and righteousness and joy and love in the Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our hearts, O God, that we would pray these things. And we pray, O God, that we would have Your will and understand Your will in the specifics of our life as You called us here to go into all the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples, Lord. The opportunities You give, that You gave, that You'll continue to give to advance Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I pray, Lord God, that You knit our hearts together in love to bring glory and honor to You. In Jesus' name.